You're listening to Beyond the Ribbon, a podcast of the Cancer Survivorship Center, powered by 24 Hours in the Canyon. This podcast is brought to you by Auto Inc. Auto Inc. is a distinguished family of dealerships redefining automotive excellence. Be sure to check out their website at autoinc.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of Beyond the Ribbon. My name is Ryan Parnell, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host and oncology nurse, Pam McMillan.
Hey Ryan, how are you today?
Pam, I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm good. I'm looking forward to another great episode. You know, do you ever have a guilty feeling?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Right. Can you imagine what survivors go through? You know, I'm sure they meet people as they go through treatment, and some may not have the best prognosis. And I'm sure they have this guilt. Why not me?
Yeah. And I know that you have heard a lot in visiting with survivors for their treatment summary and their survivorship care plan about dealing with survivor guilt. And it's such a rough thing. I mean, I can't explain it. I don't understand it because I've not been there. But my heart just goes out to our survivors when they struggle with survivor's guilt.
Yes. You know, I think it's really hard, even, you know, maybe not a loss of someone, but maybe why did they get the good scan and the other person didn't? Why do they didn't have this side effect, but this other person did? So I think guilt, survivor's guilt probably encompasses a lot of different things, but you know, I'm excited to learn about it today.
Yes, I think you're right. I think you hit on the head and maybe jumped the gun a little bit and took some of our guests' thunder, Pam. Way to go.
Oh, no.
But I'm, you know, here's the deal, right? I can't explain it. I don't feel like, Pam, you have a great explanation, but we know someone that can help us with this, and we're super excited to have someone all the way from Houston. You know, we joked just a second ago that we're neighbors to the north, and they're, it's funny, right? People think when they go, oh, I've been to Texas, I've been to Houston. How far are you? Well, we're a long ways away from Houston, but we're super excited to have Dr. Catherine Powers. She's a licensed clinical psychologist in palliative rehabilitation and integrative medicine at MD Anderson. Dr. Powers, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here today with you.
Yeah, you know, and we always like to just kind of start our podcast really at the basic level. And so help us out, help us understand what survivor guilt is or what it can be.
Yeah. So this is something, a phenomenon that happens typically after some sort of traumatic experience. What today we're going to be talking about is having a cancer diagnosis and going through that. So specific for that, it is a common thing that patients have that while they're going through cancer treatment or even after when they enter into survivorship, having some sort of guilt when they see other people, other patients that have cancer that are perhaps struggling more with treatment, or maybe noticing that if someone is not doing well, not getting good scans, or even in the situation, if they find out someone passed away from cancer, and having the strong emotions around thinking about that they are here, they are still alive, but others aren't. A lot of times at the beginning of diagnosis, we have this thought, you know, why me? Why did I get cancer? And like Pam said earlier, sometimes even afterwards, well, why not me? Why am I the one that survived or did well or is getting the good scans?
Yeah. And I think too, what's crazy that I see it and I hear people talk about it is, like you said, when they know someone or they went through treatment with someone and they had the exact same kind of cancer, mm-hmm. and they got roughly the same type of treatment, and the other one, their friend didn't respond, but they did respond. And I know that has to be so hard.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the hardest things about cancer is we don't have the control over it. It's not predictable. And it certainly doesn't discriminate it, you know, good, bad, doesn't matter what type of person you are, anyone is susceptible for it. And we kind of want the world to be fair and just. And we think as long as I go through treatment and do everything that's recommended, then I'll survive. And if I do, then the person next to me, surely it will be the same situation for them. And unfortunately, that's not always the case. It doesn't always respond the same way, even if it is the same diagnosis and the same treatment. So it certainly can bring up a lot of confusion and anger and sadness, and especially guilt.
Is this a new thing, survivor's guilt? Because oftentimes whenever I talk to patients, they say they have this feeling but can't put a definition on it. Mm-hmm. Is this something new in the medical world?
So is this a new experience? No. Is it something that we are now speaking more openly about? Yes. I mean, you can even think about in different situations, combat veterans wondering, well, why was it that I survived when my buddy next to me didn't? And with cancer, it's very similar. It's always been there. Now that the stigma around mental health is decreasing, we can more openly talk about this and realize it is incredibly common. In fact, I think a study back in 2019 with lung cancer survivors found that over half of the patients reported some degree of survivor's guilt. And certainly that can vary based on the severity, but is incredibly common. And I would have a suspicion that as long as humans have been around and we've had traumatic experience, it has been a common experience. And if you think about it, like, guilt actually serves a purpose. It leads us to engage in some behaviors and not others. Pam isn't going to go steal Ryan's office supplies because she would feel guilty about putting him in a bad situation. So it makes sense that we have these emotions, but it's really difficult in situations that are, much more dire, like seeing a loved one pass away from cancer when we survive it.
Yeah.
So for our listeners, they're saying, yeah, that's me. I have that guilty feeling. How can they handle, or what can they do to get over this guilty feeling?
I think the first step is acknowledging it and realizing it's normal. You are a human. You're having a human emotion. You're having a normal reaction to an abnormal situation. And I think just even putting a name to it can somehow make us feel better to realize that it's not just us. There's nothing wrong with us. A lot of times, sometimes we feel guilty for feeling guilty, or we have, I'm the one that survived, so I have to make this big thing out of my life because I was the lucky one. And that's a lot of pressure. So I think the first thing is just acknowledging that it exists, that it's going on. So that would be across the board, step one. And after that, it really depends on the situation, the person, what works for them. Of course, because I'm a health psychologist, I'm always going to recommend doing the, relaxation techniques, whether it's deep breathing, journaling, even getting a massage and having that human connection, doing self-care, whether that's exercise or eating well, or taking a bubble bath or reading a good book just to get out of the cancer bubble for a while. I think that this experience, I don't know if you guys have ever gotten a new car and then suddenly you see that car everywhere you go.
Yes.
And in a similar way with cancer, once you have cancer, it's everywhere. So then the guilt is everywhere. And we want you to be able to move forward in your life, not be in denial that you had cancer and survived it, but acknowledge it and understand it, and then try to maybe integrate back into your life. Because a lot of the times we see people start to isolate, they start to withdraw, they start to not engage in the activities that bring them joy. They might feel stuck in the cancer world with a lot of pressure. So what we would recommend is trying to make those social connections again. Maybe even perhaps if it's in your heart, paying it forward in some ways, and that can be educating your friends and family on cancer prevention or early detection. That could be volunteering, donating blood to, feel like you're paying it forward to someone else. That could be advocating, volunteering, all sorts of different things that you could do to somehow help with that guilt. And, of course, their professional help is always encouraged. I'm biased as a psychologist. I think everyone can benefit from therapy. But going through therapy and using some different techniques that we often use, like cognitive behavioral therapy, acceptance and commitment therapy, potentially medication management, if that's needed, talking to a spiritual or religious advisor. There's all sorts of things that you can do to work through this. I also don't want to necessarily demonize these emotions and say we need to get rid of them. I think what we need to do is acknowledge them and think about, well, what is this saying? How is this, you know, affecting us? And can you do something with that emotion? And also making sure it's not getting out of hand and negatively impacting your life, you know, where, again, when you're withdrawing, you're sleeping all day, or you can't sleep, or you're emotionally eating. Those are certainly red flags. But certainly we want you to acknowledge it exists. And then what can you do about it?
Pam, there's a lot to unpack there. One of the things, Dr. Powers, that you mentioned was talking about this emotion, and that it's normal, and that, you know, what do we do with it? We have to figure it out. Reminds me, Pam, of the podcast that we recently did with one of our licensed professional counselors on anger. You know, that Kristen talked about how anger is a normal emotion, but yet what do we do, and how do we use it, and how do we turn it into something and use it for the positive? And I couldn't help but just think about that, as Dr. Powers, you were mentioning about with guilt, and it's a normal feeling, and that you acknowledge it, but what are you going to do with it? And don't let it completely consume you, is what you were saying. And I think, you know, that leads me into what I know, Pam, you've heard this, I've heard this. Well, I don't want to come to the Cancer Survivorship Center because I don't want to dwell on the fact about cancer. And I don't want to sit around and just talk about cancer. And I want to enforce that and reinforce that with all of our listeners that we don't do that. You know, we provide, right, Pam? We provide a center that is a healing center. Yes, there are people who have been through cancer and are going through cancer just like you, but we never sit around and talk about, well, what kind of cancer did you have? And, oh, the breast cancer patients go to that class over there, and the colon. No, it's just like people who've been through a shared experience. Mm-hmm. And so if you're one of those people that say, I don't want to dwell on that, just as you said, Dr. Powers, it's important that you don't. We don't do that at the Survivorship Center.
You know, I oftentimes tell patients when I'm meeting for the treatment summary and care plan, this is the only time that we have to talk about cancer. Other than that, it's up to you. But, you know, finding some community that we often talk about is so important. Do you feel like sometimes that maybe this guilt is heightened because maybe of a scan or going back to the doctor, or going back to the facility that you were treated at?
Certain, there are triggers everywhere. Again, just like that new car. So it could be, you know, scan anxiety, something coming up that, you know, you're perfectly fine, but while you're living in between scans, but once that new scan is about to come up, and a lot of times is the significant others and family members that notice that irritability right before a scan, because it can trigger a lot of these emotions. It is, you know, finding out a friend is diagnosed. It seems like every TV show or book out there too has some, you know, a character that has cancer. So the triggers are everywhere.
I cannot imagine if you asked a survivor to list things that trigger your various emotions, all of your emotions. Mm-hmm. You know, we used to work at a cancer center here in Amarillo, and I used to always worry about, they used to always pop popcorn, and I used to always worry about survivors going to the movie and smelling the popcorn and thinking back, well, that's what I had when I had my chemo, or they always were popping that when I was there. I mean, all these things, our minds are so powerful, sometimes in a negative way, to have these triggers that could certainly do that.
Yeah. And on the flip side, it can be in a negative way, but it can also be on a positive way. And we can use that because our brains are incredible, and we can, especially smells like the smell of popcorn. And I'm a cancer survivor myself. So I have my own associations with certain smells that I did some my own exposure therapy to try to get over. But again, on the flip side, the brain, you can use it for good. We can use it through, you know, guided imagery or meditation or other connections. So it can go either way. We just have to, again, acknowledge it and be aware of when we're starting to go into those negatives.
Is there something simple that you could recommend to our survivors that they could do when they're having this feeling? Maybe they can't come to yoga. Maybe they can't come to, you know, sound bath or get a massage, something that they can do simple at their own time and own space.
And I know this is not what everyone wants to hear. And granted, if someone told me to do this when I was getting really emotional, I'd want to yell at them. But to do the deep breathing, it is so powerful. And it's like the foundation. It's a reset. And, you know, I could probably talk for another hour about the fight or flight response and why the breath can be so powerful. But in a nutshell, basically, it tells our body to calm down. It signals it. We can't be relaxed and stressed out at the same time. So one of the simplest ways, and, you know, one of the things too, it's always with you. There's no place you can go, minus maybe having to hold your breath in an MRI for a little bit. Everywhere you go, even if you're driving in traffic or on a plane or waiting for your scan results, the breath is always with you and no one can tell that you're doing it. And it's just those deep diaphragmatic breaths can be incredibly powerful. So the next time someone tells you just to breathe, maybe take a deep breath and listen to them. And they actually are right. As much as you might not want to admit it in the moment, a deep breath can be incredibly powerful. Count to 10, then you might have to do it again.
That it's funny you said that, right? No one can tell you're doing it. That's an interesting thing to think about. I was thinking that, like, okay, I'm sitting in a waiting room. I'm nervous. I'm worried. I'm feeling guilty. Da 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 da. No one can really tell I'm over here focusing and taking some deep breaths. That's very powerful. You mentioned several other activities, many of which is what we offer at the Survivorship Center that can help kind of day to day, you know, not in the moment, like Pam just said, like, hey, I'm having a scan. I'm not going to get in the floor and do a yoga pose, or I'm going to, you know, listen to music or something like that. But you talked about yoga, you talked about meditation, you even mentioned massage. Those are all things, right? Some of that community, some of that healing touch. Is there anything else that would be very beneficial for folks kind of as a kind of maintenance as they're moving forward throughout their journey?
So I look at these techniques kind of as two different things. Taking it from like a medicine perspective, there are medicines like Synthroid for your thyroid, cholesterol or blood pressure medication that you take every single day, no matter what. And it kind of keeps you stable, set your body in the path where it should be. And then there's other medications that you take as needed. So you lifted a box wrong, so you're going to take some ibuprofen. And I think about these techniques almost like a toolbox, if you will, that we want to fill and use in different situations. So I think trying to figure out something you can do every single day, just like you would take your cholesterol medication, perhaps as you're brushing your teeth, you can practice some gratitude, just thinking three things that you're grateful for in that moment. And that can be something as being able to breathe right now, or having a roof over my head, or it can be bigger things, you know, that I did survive. I am surviving a cancer diagnosis. So having practices like that, mindfulness is another great one to associate with some other daily habits. I always think about, you know, the shower is a great time. We kind of go on autopilot so often in our lives. But as you're taking a shower, you know, you can feel the steam and the hot water against your skin, maybe smell the soap. You can hear the water hitting the ground, just using your senses to be in the moment. Because a lot of times our kind of depression hangs out in the past, the woulda, coulda, shouldas, and loss and grief, and the anxiety hangs out in the future. But right now in this moment, we're okay. So trying to practice some mindfulness by using our senses in everyday activities. So this does not add any more time on your plate, like eating. Pam, were you going to say something?
No, go ahead.
I just wrote that down. Your depression lives in the past and your past experiences, and your anxiety lives in the future. So why not live in the middle and live in the present?
Holy right now. God. And it, of course, there are exceptions to that. But I've noticed as a general rule, for the most part, right here in the moment, that we're doing well. And even with that, which this study kind of blows my mind, but there was a study a while back that looked at people getting biopsies, and they found they were doing treatment as normal, some guided imagery and some mindfulness. So obviously biopsies are not fun. Nobody wants to sign up. It is distressing in the moment, But the patients who reported the best outcome were the ones who were being directed and were practicing mindfulness, being in the moment and feeling the pressure, the pain, the tugging. They reported the best experience, followed by the guided imagery and then treatment as normal. So even if it is a little bit distressing, mindfulness can be helpful even when it's not comfortable, which to me is fascinating, especially as a big advocate of guided imagery.
Well, and I guess that kind of really nails down or drives home the point of controlling the controllables. Like, you can't control your past. You can't control the future. You know, you're right there in the mindfulness. You're right in the present, which is what you can control right then at that very moment.
Yeah. And also, you know, similar like the serenity prayer, and also knowing what you can't control and being able to differentiate between the two.
Yeah.
You know, oftentimes, you know, survivors don't know how to express their feelings or tell their loved ones that they're experiencing survivor guilt. Do you have any tips for them?
So time and time again, I hear from people that until you've experienced it yourself, you can't really understand. And I want to first of all acknowledge that there is no secret phrase that will make them understand what you're feeling. And also, I want to acknowledge that sometimes caregivers don't want you to feel bad. So they want to think that you're moving on and that you're okay. It's hard for some people to think that you are having this survivor guilt, and they really just don't understand. So I think being okay with the fact that they might not understand. And then what you guys do is fabulous, is having these other outlets for patients to be able to not dwell on their cancer experience, but be able to talk to other people who get it. We run a similar group. I had one earlier this morning, and we were talking about topics like this. And it's nice to be around people that do truly get it, even if their experience is slightly different. So I just don't want to set people up for the expectation that they can say a certain phrase that is going to make people understand. I've also had a lot of people who say, I didn't get it until I became a cancer patient. Oh my gosh, it makes so much sense to me. And then there are some people who are just super empathetic, and they do get it.
Right.
You know, I think that probably also brings up, and maybe you could speak to this, Dr. Powers, you know, support groups. We offer a caregiver support group, so we can have caregivers together and dealing with a loved one and working through a loved one's diagnosis, but also maybe even mentorships. How important would both of those be?
I'm a big advocate for all of those things, because I think that caregivers also don't want to burden the patient with their own distress. So it's nice to have a place where they can go and talk to other people who are having similar experiences. And the mentorship is fantastic. I know that we have, I think it's Cancer Connection, where we connect people with people who with, you know, similar cancer experiences, to help with not just the practical and the logistical stuff of the diagnosis, but also the emotional, to normalize some of those thoughts and feelings. So I love also the, again, this morning when in one of our groups that we were talking about how when you have new group members come in and they hear some of the patients share some thoughts, it can be very awakening, whether it's validating, oh, I'm not crazy. This is normal. It's okay that I feel this way, or just different perspectives of looking at things differently. So the group format, I mean, I can sit here, even as a cancer survivor myself, I can sit here and tell somebody something, but the group format is so special because you're getting so many different experiences. So definitely advocate of the mentorship, the caregiver support, the, you know, the individual patient support groups, all of the above. You can never have too much support.
I love that.
Isn't that the truth? That really is the truth. And, you know, one of the things I think that's important too, as you mentioned, that I think we should touch on as well, is individual one-on-one counseling. You know, you talked about how mental health and kind of it's becoming more prevalent in talking about it and verbalizing it and seeking assistance and seeking help. You know, as I mentioned, we work with 4 different LPCs, licensed professional counselors, that are available for our cancer survivors. And I know as you, as a clinical psychologist, as you said, it's important, but could you touch a little bit on counseling? Because I think it's important for our listeners, I hope, to have a better understanding of what counseling is and what it isn't.
Yeah, and I think if we're talking specifically in the cancer world with counseling, it is something that is becoming a not just an accepted practice, but almost a required at some of the big cancer hospitals, that we realize now that people are surviving cancer, that we have to address more than just the body. And I think that, you know, the buy-in's there, and we also see that people do better who are able to cope with their mental health. They're more likely to be able to carry out some recommendations, work on their lifestyle. Just the stress response is improved. So there's, you know, immune benefits. There's all sorts of huge benefits. So there is more evidence that mental health care individually can really help patients, just not quality of life, but physically as well. And I'm sure with your counselors as well, it's very tailored to what that patient needs. That's the good thing about individual therapy, that the therapist is going to meet the patient where they're at, what they need, or, you know, they might not even know what they need. They might just be having some emotions, and really process that, work through that, and give them wonderful skills moving forward. And the great thing about these skills is they're applicable in more than just cancer stress. So we, you know, our goal is to teach patients how to become their own therapists in the future too, and to be able to cope with these stressors. So again, there's all sorts of great evidence-based therapies. The ones that I typically do is cognitive behavioral therapy, which is one of the gold standards, as well as acceptance and commitment therapy, meaning-centered therapy. There's lots of great therapies that work really well with cancer patients to kind of process this. One of my favorite areas working with patients is after cancer treatment. And, you know, what we're saying is they kind of sometimes it's just a weird stage that they're done with all the, you know, the checkups and the active treatment, all this. And it's like, now what? And that's when everyone expects you to go back to your normal, whatever that is. And here you are, you're physically changed. Your outlook on life has changed. Your mortality is more evident. And it's a very strange phase and the cancer experience that is not talked about. And I think that's an excellent place also for individual therapy to come in, because now you have more time to be able to work on, you know, when the dust settles and processing what you just went through, what it means, and where do I go from now or from here?
You know, as an oncology nurse, I never realized what we did to patients when, you know, we were celebrating that they were done with treatment. And then it's like, see you in 3 months, not knowing what we did. So, you know, the programs that we offer here at the center are offered for a reason. They're there to be there to help you find that community, find the self-care maybe that you need. So if you're struggling with, you know, this survivor's guilt, know that there's help out there.
Yeah, there's no reason to, as you say, right, suffer in silence. I mean, there's no reason to do that. And the beautiful thing, Pam, and Dr. Powers, I don't know if you know this or not, but the beautiful thing is we offer everything we have at no charge. And, you know, especially mental health, we want you to thrive during your treatment and post-treatment. We want you to thrive, and we want to help you in any way we can. And I think that's so important. Dr. Powers, we've touched on so much. Is there anything else that we've missed or left out that is really important when it comes to handling guilt and dealing with survivor's guilt?
I think the one thing that I like that you use the word thrive right there, is one thing that we don't really talk about as much. We talk about how, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder with a cancer patient having this guilt, having these negative emotions. But what we also know with cancer, oftentimes there's post-traumatic growth, that we do notice that some patients do take their experience. And although I would never wish it upon anyone, and I'm sure that no one else would either, that it allows them to kind of reevaluate things. You see the world differently. And it's, you know, I've even heard patients not say that cancer is a gift, but the lessons that they have learned from their experience is a gift. That all of a sudden, you know, you don't sweat the small stuff, that you appreciate things in a different way, whether it's the loved ones around you or the sunset. I know that sounds cheesy, but it is something that I hear time and time again, that you have a different appreciation for the life that you are fighting to live. And I think it's a really cool experience to go with patients. And as awful as cancer and treatment can be, to also see some of the benefits that patients have done, how that they feel they, you know, have grown in some ways due to their experience. And I just, I love seeing that too. And I don't think that part is also talked about enough either. And your services, I think, that really help patients to be able to reach that point, to be able to look back and see some good that came out of it.
Absolutely. You know, we just came off of our big event, 24 hours, and we interviewed a lot of survivors riding in the canyon. And it's an eye-opening experience that nobody wants to go through, but what a blessing it can be if you take it and look at it that way. Thank you so much for all your information. That brings us to our last segment. We are sponsored by the Auto Inc. family. Do you have an Auto Inc. inspiring moment that you would like to share with our listeners?
I think one of the processes, again, kind of going on that growth, is seeing some patients that go through the whole survivor's guilt and being able to see that sometimes they stumble, sometimes they really struggle. And I've had a couple of patients who have somehow managed to incorporate their experience into bettering their family, bettering their community. I've had one patient start a foundation for cancer patients. I've had other patients advocate and go and write articles and all these other things. And I just want to say that how impressed and honored I am to be able to work with cancer patients and see them take such a horrific experience and better the world with what they went through. And again, it's just an honor. And I'm sure you guys feel the same way working with your patients, to be able to see people, again, thrive.
Absolutely. You know, it's fun to see them. I wouldn't say fun. When they first come to the center, sometimes they might be at their lowest point, and then they start getting involved and seeing the growth that can happen when you find the right place or the right class. It's fun to watch.
And I'll second that, Pam and Dr. Powers. I just recently had the opportunity to meet with a spouse of a cancer survivor, and he just overly gushed, thank you, because he sees the difference his wife being involved in a community has made in her life, and it's bettered their family. And so there's a lot of science to this, and anecdotal, you know, benefits that we all see. And so I just want to say thank you for joining us, Dr. Powers. Thank you for what you guys do there at MD Anderson and what you do on a daily basis working with your survivors there.
Well, my pleasure. And thank you for everything the two of you do for our up north of Texas panhandle patients. We really appreciate what you guys do as well.
Absolutely. Pam, I tell you, I say this often. Our listeners probably know what I'm about to say, but I learned something every single time we do a podcast. And it's something I never even saw come out of just comes out of nowhere.
Right. And, you know, we couldn't do podcasts without maybe some suggestions. So this was one of the suggestions that did come in. So we're grateful for those that send in suggestions. So if you have a suggestion, please let us know.
For sure. Absolutely. Please do that. You know, I think this is an important one, Pam, that if you know someone, and we kind of say this often, share it with someone. But I tell you, there is no reason to suffer and be these emotions while going through your treatment or you're finished with your treatment. There's so much here to unpack. Probably want to re-listen to this, take some good notes, and share it. It's very important. And then, of course, definitely, Pam, they need to reach out to us and make sure they're getting our calendar. They can download our app. It's on the App Store. It's on the Google Play Store. It's simply Cancer Survivorship Center. You can see our monthly calendar there. You can actually request a counseling appointment. And here's how that works. Pam, I'm going to request a counseling appointment on my app. It's going to go to you. You're going to put that person in touch, have our counselor reach out to them. And it's as simple as that. And then we take a step back and they handle it, right?
That's right.
It's so simple.
We pay the bill.
And we pay the bill. That's the best. That's the best part, the part I left off. And we pay the bill. That's the best thing. Listen, you guys, definitely take advantage of these services that we have available. And then make sure you join us next time for another great episode of Beyond the Ribbon.
Thanks again for listening to Beyond the Ribbon. We'd like to extend a special thanks to the Auto Inc. family of dealerships, as they have supported the 24 Hours in the Canyon Cancer Survivorship Center since 2016. For more information on the Cancer Survivorship Center, please visit our website at 24survivorship.org.